Hey, how you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Thursday, the 1st of October 2020. With me, Daniel Ruiz Tyson, episode 273, going out to the 18 patrons who keep this show alive, albeit on a podcast live support. This is the podcasting equivalent of locked-in syndrome, I think. Without that blinking once for yes, twice for no system up and running. As far as the audio world is concerned, I am locked in. This show is locked in. There is no blinking happening. Hope you're all healthy as we come to this end of the week, keeping on doing what you need to be doing to keep yourself going during whatever it is these times will be known as by future generations. And I'm working on the assumption that there will be future generations. It's coming up to what? It's 10:44 hours this morning. I've just cracked open a new box of 3-ply man-sized tissues from Lidl that I bought a couple of weeks ago. Not sure what kind of men these are aimed at. Giants, maybe, because they are the size of dust sheets. Using them to mop up the usual coffee spillages in the morning and to cover my coffees as well. That's a habit that I've had since I was 6-7 years old, covering my drinks, hot or cold drinks, with a tissue. Never something I did in the cafe, but I always made sure that I never looked at the surface of my lattes in there, because, you know, whenever I would see a speck of dust in a drink. And I did have a situation once in the cafe where I spent about a week or two trying to wrestle with this OCD. I found myself, for some unknown reason, looking at the surface of my uncovered lattes in the cafe, and I could just see all these specks of dust, and it just wasn't good. I had to wrestle with that period until the non-OCD side of me, admittedly a small side, won out on that front. I don't think I would have found these man-sized tissues in Lidl now. It is clear, unfortunately, that the hoarders are back. There's no loo roll in the supermarkets. There's no kitchen towels, which is what I was looking for the other day. Unfortunately, these people are back. And the lockdown was hard enough back in the spring. And I think it was at its hardest when the stockpilers were just stripping the shelves of everything. It's such a selfish thing to do. It really is, and it makes it difficult for those of us who are trying to think not just about ourselves during this pandemic. I don't want to stockpile. I don't want to start multi-buying various items and making it difficult for other people. This is the kind of situation, though, that people like me get pushed into, because when we finally see the stuff we need available, we think, well, how many times, how many shops am I going to go into again before I find this stuff again? I'm here now, maybe just buy two of these rather than one. I don't want to go down that road. It's really disappointing that these people are back, despite the message being clear that the supply lines aren't affected by the current situation. There is no, well, you know, there is no reason to behave like this. And also, the fault lies with supermarkets. You know, you should be policing the situation better. I think Tesco's and Morrison's put in place systems or statements that make it clear there is a limit now on what customers can buy. And I actually think that needs to be rolled out urgently by every single supermarket, because it's disgraceful behavior, and the supermarkets that don't do anything about it are complicit in this. Going for an early record this morning. I'm at my aunt's this afternoon to oversee a repair, so it's likely, though, that I will be recording this show, and I won't be able to edit it until I'm back, either in the late afternoon or the evening, depending what time the repairman turns up. We're all mucking in right now, doing what we need to do for my aunt. It's just unfortunate that, in addition to what is already a difficult week for the family, that there are issues needed to be fixed that have become emergencies right now with my aunt on her own. Sometimes, you know, when there are big things going on, you can face those big things if that's all you have to focus on. But what complicates matters, where that extra stress comes in, the unnecessary stress, is when the smaller things start going wrong at the same time. And on that front, my aunt's been unlucky this week. I've already spoken to her this morning. She then called me back right away. And it became clear to me very early on in the call that she thought I was one of my cousins. This woman is just a mind terrorist, and I'm expecting more of that this afternoon. I didn't expect it this morning, and I told her that she needs to start showing a bit more if she wants to hang on to her official status as my next of kin, because ideally you want your next of kin to be getting your name right at the very least. I mean, that is a minimal requirement. I don't think I'm being unreasonable there. Breakfast update from Tuesday the 29th to this morning. Incredible. We are already in October. Now, we know the years race by, but this has been such a difficult year, such a slow year for all of us, and yet we're in October. October of this nothing year. That is, I think, incredible. Maybe I'm just padding this out. Who knows?
You're listening to Daniel Roy Tyson is available.
Breakfast update. Toast, crackers. Finished the loaf yesterday. New one to break open. As I'm at my aunt's this afternoon, I'm having toast there for lunch. So that gave crackers an opportunity this morning to come in from the cold. Taking a banana with me to my aunt's to support the toast, because my aunt and uncle always have this miniature Sylvanian family-sized bread. A couple of bites and it's gone. And I know that that is not going to suffice for my lunch. Even though she's my aunt, even though she is, for now at least, my next of kin, I just don't like the stomach rumbling in front of anyone. I always feel no matter who you're with, no matter how well that person knows you, you need some small talk in order to counter any stomach rumbling audio. I've had a very interrupted week. I had the dentist and opticians on Tuesday and yesterday. I think the opticians was definitely more worrying in terms of the time spent in there. And, you know, there was so much to do in there. Glasses selection, trying them on, close contact with the dispensing optician. I was completely uncoordinated going in. I didn't know where to stand. It wasn't the smallest of places. I mean, it wasn't as manic as, say, Poundland. But it was still, it still took me a few moments to, you know, get to grips with where I was and what I needed to do. There was a woman in tracksuit bottoms ahead of me. She gave her date of birth. I was looking at her, and obviously she had a face mask on, but I was just, you know, working with what I could see. And I just thought, well, she looks older than me, but turned out as I expected, because it happens so often now, she was a year younger. She was wearing tracksuit bottoms. She had to make another appointment once she was in there, and she said to the dispensing optician, better make it afternoon, I'm not a morning person. I think the heavily branded tracksuit bottoms told us that, my inner snob screamed before I admonished them for stereotyping. I'd shortlisted a few specs online to minimize my time in the opticians. I had to try them on in there. The dispensing optician gave her recommendations. One pair were a dark blue. I remarked that they were too flamboyant for me, even though they were a dark blue. And I think that at that point, and I don't think that I imagined this, something switched in her. It was as if my personality had come through the mask in the way that the smell of weed in Lambeth always comes through my mask. And I picked up on it very quickly. And I thought to myself, what's going on here? The test itself, I had various tests. I paid an extra tenner to have this new test that they do that looks deeper into the eyes to test for glaucoma and diabetes. Actually, I don't think it tests for diabetes, but it definitely looks for glaucoma, and all that was fine. It was just a difficult hour and a half. You know, you've got all the machines that you have to have a contact with. I wasn't massively impressed with the way those machines were being cleaned before my chin and forehead placement. And again, you know, I sympathize. It's not a way to work. It's not a way for any of us to be living. And it's a difficult job that anyone has right now in doing any job, really. But, you know, you're working in a customer-facing environment, and after you see every customer, you've got to clean everything more than you normally do. It can't be easy, but I would rather have seen some spray action, some sort of liquid being sprayed, rather than just seeing some wipes wiping down the machines, because if those wet wipes or whatever they are, antibacterial wipes, if the packets aren't sealed properly, they do lose their moisture. And also, of course, you know, you're at the opticians, your eyes are exposed. That's what they're testing. So that is, you know, a massive vulnerable point, a massive gate screaming to the virus, over here, fella. And the mask was steaming up the lenses when I was having the eye test. The optician at one point said I could lower my mask below the nostrils because I think he was seeing that the lenses were steaming up. He said he would have been comfortable with that, but I stuck with a full mask. As I thought, there has been a significant deterioration. Dave, you're talking about your eyes again. I'm just giving them the denouement to this eye business because there has been a deterioration, okay? So just allow me this. The long-sighted issue has got worse, which is why I've been struggling for the last few months. So I hadn't imagined it. I had to buy two for one, one varifocal, one single vision. The varifocals will take some getting used to. I made notes because there's no way I would have remembered everything that they were telling me. You know, I've forgotten it already. I think it might be down the lower part of the lens for reading, middle part, I think, for laptop work, top part, I don't know what for, I can't remember right now. It's all written down, and I'm sure that it will take me a bit longer than the normal person to get used to it. I think what confused me a bit or unsettled me a bit is that the dispensing optician afterwards gave me slightly different advice to the optician. That complicates things, without a doubt, or complicated things. I just didn't really need any doubts being fed into my mind the way it works. I do think that she was flirting with me. It's been a while since I experienced that, and odd that it should happen when we were both masked up. I mean, the mouth is a significant part of the face. Correct me if I'm wrong. I could be from the nasal bridge above. You know, it might be that with a mask, she might think that, you know, I'm up there looks-wise with Tony Curtis, the man my dad, for some reason, always insisted was the world's best-looking man. But then under the mask, I might have the most hideous lower part of the face imaginable. I might be like that Vincent guy from Beauty and the Beast in the late 80s. And I wonder if this was a glimpse of what the new dating world looks like now. Because she was looking at me like whatever was behind the mask didn't matter, that I had enough going on above the mask for her interest to be serious. In terms of the costing, £230, no way round it. That was, I mean, I was expecting something lower, and I came out of there feeling like I'd been absolutely I had to pay everything up front, and when I left the opticians, I was so numb. I felt like I needed to hold on to something, otherwise I would fall, only to remember that I shouldn't be touching anything right now. I'd had a missed call from my uncle. I called him back. I explained why I was so slow in calling him back, told him how much the new specs had cost me. "You've been up," said my uncle. "Don't I know it," I shot back. "I could have got the virus in there and I'd still be thinking about the £230 I've just spent." It was a slow walk back home. The shoulders felt heavy, the posture was slumped. And, you know, guys, don't tell me I could have got the specs online. Just sent my prescription to them. I did that 2 years ago, and that was where I made a huge misstep because it accelerated the problem. Then at the start of this year, I again went cheap with some NHS specs. I couldn't risk making more mistakes with regards to my vision. Being told I should wear them now for shopping too, and maybe at night if the visibility is poor. And I would say to you, whatever you do, opticians, yes, they can be pricey. They're not as bad as private dentists. It's your vision, though. It's you know, you're not getting away with anything by submitting a prescription online and buying your own glasses. That is effectively optical self-harming. Just before I called my uncle, actually, I'd bought some stationery. Now, stationery therapy always helps. It was a bit foolish to risk another trip into Poundland. I had promised myself that I would be avoiding that place. Now, bought some record cards too, which are invaluable for my lists, which I'm now removing from my writing notebooks so that I know that in my writing notebooks, it's just writing ideas and things for this show and all my other work. Doing the same with the shopping lists too. I'm just mindful that at some point when I exit this world, someone is going to have access to like 400 or 500 notebooks going back 30 years, and they're going to see all these shopping lists of the last 20 years as the OCDs grew and all the lists and relisting and all that stuff. It's not going to be interesting for any potential biographers. I got the stationery. Didn't really help, not when I just spent all that money. But at least the idea was right, I think, because normally stationery does help me, that moment of buying stationery, of bringing it back home and maybe not even using the stuff I've bought for months on end. Just having it there is reassuring. Bought some highlighters too. Then I crossed the road to WH Smith's, bought myself a fabric mask. It's wet weather in London, never mind the fact that it's cold. And the disposable masks, you know, when it's raining, you have to get rid of them after single use. You're meant to get rid of disposable masks after single use regardless. But, you know, again, this is a recurring expenditure. And that's why I just thought it makes no sense. I'm going to have to go down the fabric mask route, even though, again, in the past, I've heard it said that fabric masks are dangerous because they can imbue the wearer with a false sense of overconfidence. And I'm wondering how often it needs to be washed, and can it just be washed any amount of times? Will it still be effective? So anyway, bit the bullet on the fabric mask. A little blow last night. I sat on the email for pretty much all the day. There was an email from one of the guys at the big platform provider I'd hoped to get the new show up on, and right now it was a no. There is that obsession with shows being massive from the start, so I think I'm just going to have to grow the show from scratch, which isn't going to be easy, but I'm confident I can do it. It doesn't really affect me too much beyond the fact that, well, from the off, the visibility would have been greater on this leading podcast platform, but that's the way it is. I've still got to continue. You can please follow the new show on Instagram and Twitter at Shorts for Short. That would be a big help when I'm trying to get interest for this show and chasing interviews. You know, it's not great if the follower count is low, which it is at the moment. You're listening to Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available episode 273, lo-fi, low-key, low ratings. Follow this work at Twitter and Instagram at 1607 West Egg. Facebook page, still no advice on that. You can see it. I just can't use it properly. Facebook.com/DRT is available. I put an extensive post on the weekend with screenshots, as I said on Monday, under latest news at DanielRuizTyson.com, explaining what the issue is. It is a known issue for Facebook business pages. We're going to leave our regular listeners now. We're going to continue now over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/DRT, available. Sign up there to unlock weekly bonus content. On the rest of today's show, we're going to be looking at some freelance ads, League Cup, Star Wars football action, the last 16 first legs. They've now been completed. There's another weird dream. I get locked in the park on Monday night's run. That's all coming up. Two tiers of support offered on the Patreon page. If you're not joining us on there, we'll catch you Monday for episode 274. If you are joining us on there, if you think you fancy it, patreon.com/DRT available. The show, episode 273, the complete episode, will be up on there by the time you visit the page. And otherwise, I'll catch you Monday for episode 274. Get those shoulders back. Keep on walking towards the sun. Keep washing those hands.